Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, March 31st, 2016. This is Peyman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Folks, I'm an immigrant from Iran who came to America at the age of 14 in 1977. And I thought I came to the land of the free and the home of the brave, the place where the U.S. Constitution has not been violated as opposed to the Constitution of Iran and other countries around the world, the Soviet Union, which were routinely ignored by the governments to the detriment of the people. And so, folks, I learned about the income tax being a fraud. I learned that there is no law requiring the average American, like you and me, to file and pay the federal income tax. That was back in 1992. And folks, I started Freedom Law School in 1996 to educate the average American like you to learn about the law and your rights and know how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. And folks, you can live free. You can do things to live free. The problem is we are not taught these things in high school or even university classes. We are taught to simply be ignorant Americans. So we make good slaves. When the government official asks you to jump, the only question you ask is, why should I jump? No, you say, how high do I jump? And how do you want me to jump? The question should be, where is the law that requires me to jump? And where is the law that allows you to demand that I jump? You see, folks, we don't have enough of this attitude of and knowledge to live free in America. And that's what I'm trying to help you with Freedom Law School. Get that attitude and knowledge of a free, sovereign American so you can live free like you were meant to be. At Freedom Law School, I've put together many courses since 1996. If you go to livefreenow.org, you find many courses there available. And I've put together now freedom packages, which combine education and letters to congressmen and senators and assistance and consultation and even letter writing and responses for you to get the IRS thieves off of your back included. That's right, folks. Freedom Law School is a freedom education and freedom solution source for you. You came across a very unique source you will not find like this on the internet. So congratulations for having coming across us. Let me recommend that you go to our website at livefreenow.org. And get on our email list. You're going to get a free 1 year of education emailed to you once a month. Education that's useful, practical, and works. Tells you what you want to know, what you need to know, and helps you live free of oppressive taxation and control. LiveFreeNow.org is dedicated to those of you who are committed to living free now. So go there, folks. And what I'll do is every commerce call like this, I'll be here and I'm here to answer your questions for free. Any and all of your freedom questions will be answered for free on this conference call. Now, I have a topic also every conference call, which I'll be teaching tonight. I'll be talking about the victory of Freedom Law School. One of our biggest victories were a $4.6 million claim of the IRS was lowered to Not a million, not a 100,000, or even 10,000. It was lowered to a big fat zero. That's right. And how did Freedom Law School do it? I'll talk about that and how you may be able to do the same. Get these crooks off of your back, because the income tax, folks, is a fraud. And one of the people that verified this for me was a special agent with the IRS's own criminal investigation division. A man who was charged with finding people to target to put in jail over income taxes. And he did. In 5 years that he was a special agent with the IRS, he targeted 4 different business owners, which based upon his investigation were targeted and charged criminally, put on trial, and convicted. Joe Bannister is his name, and if you go to YouTube and type in Joseph Bannister, his speech will come up at Freedom Law School 2000 rally. I will send you the audio of his whistleblowing against the IRS for you free of charge, as many copies as you want. So listen to it in your car, share it with your friends, coworkers, especially family members. Educate them as to what's going on, folks. If you love America, if you love the people, if you care about them, you will share this information with them. You will not keep it to yourself. You will get this information out there. So contact Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800. And Freedom Law School will mail you as many of these freedom education packages to you free of charge. You can also make your request online. And if you want, we can send you multiple in one of these educational packages to you if you want. That's not a problem. So what I'll be doing is I'm going to, in a minute, to see if anybody has any questions, I'll be answering your calls, those of you who may be on the call. And then I will get into the topic of the conference call tonight. And then I will add at the end a little bit of a political commentary that you might find interesting about what's going on in America and our rights in this Great Depression that we're in, and some tips of how you can do to find more prosperity and happiness in this Great Depression that America is under. So with that, folks, let's see which one of our callers tonight has any questions. We have a caller right now from California, from area code 916. If you have a question, caller from area code 916 area code, go ahead.
Okay,
I
was just listening.
No problem, my friend. Let's go to another caller that may have a question. We have a caller from area code 925. Do you have a question to call from area code 925? If so, announce your first name. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Can you hear? Okay, good. You can hear me.
Yeah.
I have not been paying taxes for about 16 years because I sent the feds only an Irwin Schiff letter, received $1,500 back and a notice that we'll get back to you in 90 days, and they didn't. The states just sent me back over $900 in withholding for 1999 with no explanation. And then, you know, basically nothing for several years. And then when I started, and it was all after that, it was independent contract work and so forth, didn't file. And then a couple of years ago, got an employee withholding order for taxes, got two of them for the taxable year 2008. And, you know, I had dropped off the radar long before then. If there's any way, based on what little I've told you, to tell me what to continue to do, I would appreciate that. Maybe I can answer another question.
Well, so in 2008, you said, Steve, that the IRS attacked your paycheck at the company you're working at. My question to you is, how much did the IRS claim you owe them at the time? And I believe it was your 2008, you said. What year was it that you were working at the company, and what was the result? Did you quit? How much did you take from your paycheck? Tell me what happened.
I'm sorry, I was not clear. I didn't get that notice until 2018, I believe it was, and they were referring back to the taxable year of 2008, and I had no income and had not filed and didn't have a W-4. I had basically no employer. I was just an independent music contractor and didn't report, didn't file, nothing. So they were in 14, they're referring back to the taxable year of 2008 for no apparent reason. And they're claiming $6,600 and some change. And then they sent one a year later, but they bumped it up to $6,800.
Did they take any money out of your paycheck? Were you working at that company or not?
When I was working in the company in 2014, I was, and I guess that's what alerted them. And they threatened that if my pay got above a certain level, that they would take 25% out of it. And I was able to work it with my employer to just keep my wages below that line. And I'm no longer working for them now. The most recent was a recorded phone call from the Franchise Tax Board in Sacramento, giving me the option of calling for services, to pay taxes, just a recorded message.
Okay. All right. And have you been living at the same place, Steve, or have you moved, changed addresses? What is your status on moving any addresses in the last 16 years?
I moved right out a year ago to the address that I'm at now.
In the last 16 years, you only moved once, and if so, when was that?
No, I've moved a number of times. If I don't think you want me to bore you with the history, but a couple of different moves, but finally settled into one place 3 years ago. From there, moved to the place I am now. So three years in that place, then last year now.
Well, one of the things you need to do is to send a certified letter, return receipt request that is preferred, to the IRS in Fresno, California, and tell them what your new address is. You got to give them your name, old and new address, and definitely the slave surveillance number, because that's how they identify you. And tell them that what your new address is. Send one also to the Franchise Tax Board, California Franchise Tax Board in Sacramento. Give them your new address, because they are sending notices right now that they are required to send by law, which advises you of your rights to challenge the IRS and give you the ability to challenge the IRS and the FDB. They are sending them right now to you to your old wrong addresses. You don't know about them. And they're going on with their game, with their process. They're assuming that you are getting these letters and you know about them and you had your chance to challenge the IRS. But you didn't know about all that, unfortunately. So you probably owe the IRS, the FDB, more than you think for more years than you know, but you just don't know because you are not getting these letters in the mail to you. So you need to do that. It wouldn't hurt if you contact the FDB and the IRS at the same time, and you can ask them for a transcript or printout of assessments and payments. I would go back to like year 2000 forward. You know, if there's anything that's owed, anything for all the year 2000, you know, year forward, they will get it to you so you know what's going on, give you a sketch at least of what they claim you owe them, how much you may have paid, how much is left, and so forth. That's what you want to do from the get-go, in my opinion, Steve. Because without that, you don't have an idea what's going on.
Okay, so I'm asking both Fresno and Sacramento for a transcript of assessments and payments.
Fresno is the IRS. Sacramento is the California Franchise Tax
Yes.
Board. Now, they make all the different thing, like, you know, print out of how much you've been assessed and paid and balance left. Same thing. You know, you explain to them, I want to know how much is assessed against me any of these years that may be there and how much you have left, because I moved several times that I Apparently, because of that, I've not got some of these letters, perhaps, from the IRS and the FTB. I want to know what the situation is so I can, you know, take care of what I owe them. They'll give it to you. That's a very easy one. You know, they're happy to give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say to take care of what I owe them, it is a question. You're not really saying that I owe them and I'm asking them how much money to send them. You're not saying that, are you?
No, I'm saying that that's a good way to have them give you what you want. That's all.
Oh, okay.
It's a way to have them cooperate with you and give you the printout of what you want so you know what's going on. You're not going to go tell them and say, hey, buddy, I don't believe I'm required to file income tax. But you know what? I'm going to get a printout so that I know what's going on. You know, so maybe I can challenge you guys in court perhaps to see if you guys did wrong things, did follow the proper procedures. You know, you're not for that kind of thing. They may not want to give you anything, you know. So you just want to sound as cooperative as you can, at least, you know, to get the paperwork into your hand. Then we can analyze it later on better to come up with a solution that makes sense.
Okay. If I go silent and simply do not do what you're just suggesting, which I'm not questioning the validity of it, but if I do nothing,
right.
What's the worst? I mean, won't it eventually catch up to me? Obviously, they know my phone number. Would they not?
No,
also
no. You say a lot of assuming. No. Don't assume anything. There's no obvious thing. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
You're not. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you know, the IRS doesn't circle around you or any of us, Steve. They're after enslavement of a large number of people. You just happen to be one of them. Okay.
Sure.
And they only look at you from a, you know, computer generated, and then the name and address and on their system. And they don't call you. They hardly call you. Even when the FTB calls you, they had a computer call you. It takes too much time to call everybody. There's way too many people to go after. They have it likely to be automated by just letters in the mail mainly.
Right. Now, another thing I forgot to mention until now, about 6 to 9 months ago, all of a sudden, about 9 months ago, they did an assessment on my bank account and just took $250 from it, just the remaining $250 from it. So that's just a part of the story. I don't know if that would mean anything.
That was not an assessment. That was not an assessment. That was a levy.
Oh,
assessment
it was.
Assessment is to evaluate, to determine, to fix the amount of tax that you owe them. Then when they go take the money from your paycheck or bank account, that is a levy. They may file a claim on any real estate or home you may have in a county where you live in case you sell it or refinance it. The IRS gets paid first. That would be a lien. So those are three different things.
All right, and I just rant. I'm pretty impressed with the shift letter because there is a shift letter because, I just sent them one letter and I got responses from both Fed and state sending me back those refunds for withholding in 1999. In your opinion, does that letter my personalized form of that letter, would that still be effective? Or is there any way to know that if it would be effective in letting them know that I know what they're up to and warding them off?
No, I'm afraid the stuff that, no. Let me tell you, the late Irwin Schiff, who passed away October of last year.
Yes.
In my opinion, is one of the legends of the tax honesty movement. You know, this guy, Irwin Schiff, had woken up more people to the fraud of the income tax than perhaps anybody else in the history of the tax honesty movement. On the other hand, Irwin Schiff made a lot of mistakes. Irwin Schiff was like bull in the china shop. And so at Irwin Schiff, saw how the courts are corrupt. The courts are supposed to interpret and uphold the law, but they don't. And he would just say, well, they can't do that. Well, Irwin, yeah. I know they can't.
He was railroaded. Wasn't he railroaded into prison by Kent Dawson, who just
several
simply,
times
know,
he was railroaded yeah. in jail over the years,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
and so
I don't know.
The stuff that he did didn't work, you know, because he went too much in the face directly to the heart of the beast, trying to prove that the entire system is a bunch of corruption, lying, fraud. And he mm-hmm. wouldn't accept the fact that these judges are too timid and or corrupt to uphold the law and the Constitution.
Yeah.
The system has become so corrupt, the judges do not want to be the ones to overrun this corrupt system and, you know, bring it back to honesty. They just want to go along and get along with the other two branches
sure.
of the government. That's what's going to. So your
okay.
shift up doesn't wouldn't work, my friend.
All right. So the next step then is to simply let them know what my updated address, and then if there's any way to predict what their next move might be, do you have any counsel, if at all, as to what would happen next, or shall I just wait till they respond and then call you back?
Well, yes. You know, one of the things that I wrote an article about, it's called the progression of the letters the IRS sends out to people who don't file on pay income tax. I got okay. that. If you sign up for our email list at livefreenow.org, that will be included in one of the material that you'll be getting over the course of the year. Also, I've done a class on how to win and how to respond to IRS letters. I've done an article on that issue, when to respond to IRS, how to respond, which letters are important that you should respond, which ones are not important, you can't ignore. All this kind of stuff is what, you know, Freedom Law School is out there educating you, making it available to you to know mm-hmm. exactly the answer to your question. Now, if you want to
okay.
get that in a jiffy real quick, what you want to do is get our first course of Freedom Law School. The very first course of Freedom Law School is a foundation for all the other courses, educational material, and freedom packages of Freedom Law School. And that
okay.
is a course called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, a course in law and procedures for those who are committed to living a free life. Level
okay.
one, because I came up with a level two course later on. This level one course is over 20 hours of audio, over 90 minutes of video, over 200 pages of paperwork, and is meant to answer the questions, things that you want to know, and things
mm-hmm.
that you need to know that you didn't know you need to know, like your change of address issue. You didn't know about that. I'll tell you about what you didn't know that you need to know. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and it's very useful. It's one of a kind. Unfortunately, there's no other course anything like that in America. It should
sure.
be. This
sure.
is a class that I believe everybody should be in America taught that before they come out of high school. But
oh,
it's
yeah.
available to you for only $300 with the unconditional 100% 90-day money-back guarantee, because I know this is what you want, what you need. You'll like it. If you need more time to listen to the course, I'm happy to extend that time frame of the warranty from 90 to 60 to 120 days to 1 year. So you have a chance to really check out the course, see if it's good, useful stuff. Otherwise, send it back. You only be paid for the $20 shipping. And, you know, thank you for giving it a try. You want to start with at least that, my friend, because all the stuff that you're talking about that you want to know, the basics of them are in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Is there any basis on which you would say that someone should become their own lawyer? I know Whitey Harrell pulled it off, but that doesn't mean that everybody should.
Your own lawyer for doing what? For what kind
of
situation?
I mean, I'm taking a quantum leap ahead that this thing might go to court. And I don't make all that much money, you know, frankly. But I'm taking a preemptive step and saying, you know, is there any should I be preparing to be my own lawyer? Now I know. Now, by the way, I had your introductory freedom package, all the pages that are, you know, brightly colored stuff, and it's really good stuff. So I know that you have services available for as attorneys for protecting people. So maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Well, that's why I put this simple Royal Fitness package and the Royal Fitness package together. It was exactly because of what you expressed, your concerns.
Okay.
Because there are certain things that you perhaps could do yourself, especially if you're younger. You sound like an intelligent, self-reliant person. I could teach you. You could do certain things yourself, and you can do them. You perhaps should do them. On the other hand, there's certain things that are more complicated and complex, like in a rare case that the IRS might come after you criminally to try to put you in prison, which is rare. Again, it doesn't happen very often. But if you were the unlucky one they come after, in that case, you would want an attorney who's knowledgeable in the field representing you. You wouldn't want to do that one yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what you want to look at, the simple fee package and the royal fee package. I think those are two that are most suited to what you're talking about, what you want.
Okay. The $300 then is for those, which is it, one of the packages, both of them? I'm sorry. What does $300 cover?
It's the level one course. It's called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level One. If you go to livefreenow.org, our website, on the top right side, you see course packages. Click on that. At the bottom, the very first thing at the bottom is the level one course. And then above that is the beginner's freedom package. And as it gets up there, because covers a lot more and is more expensive and provides a lot more to you, you can check to see which one is, you know, you're most interested or fits your budget. And all the courses, when you go at the top, the core, the packages, they include everything at the bottom. So what's at the bottom builds up to the top. So level one course is the most beginner stage. And the Royal Freedom Package is the top of the line. The Royal Freedom Package includes level one course. It includes the beginner's freedom package and all that stuff. So you want to check it out.
The Royal?
The Royal is $6,000 to start, $3,500 for second year, and each year thereafter.
All right. Good. Okay, so to recap, and I'll get off the phone, thanks for taking the time with me. You definitely feel I should alert them as to my new address. That's your counsel at this point, rather than just staying silent.
Yeah, you have to. I wish you could. You didn't have to do that, Steve. I mean, to be honest with you, most Americans, patriots, you just want to be left alone. Hey, leave me alone. I mean, leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. You don't bother me. I won't bother you. Live and let live. Peace. Right? That's what we all want. Well, guess what? The government.
You know.
The politicians, they don't want to leave you alone. They want a piece of you. You see?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It would be nice just to leave you alone, but they want a piece of you. So, because they are the ones that make the laws, good or bad, righteously or wrongfully. And they have written laws in favor of the government, you know, that you'd be shocked. You know, the communists did not have as much protections in law and railroad people that American tax system has. One of the things they put in there is that you must let the IRS know what your address is. You can do it on your 1040 income tax confession form or return you fill out. They'll take that as your address. Or put a change of address for the post office. IRS is supposed to check on that automatically. Or, you know, you're supposed to let the IRS directly know about your change of address. Okay.
Is that a real law? I mean, is that a law I have to follow?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
IRS code section 6212 and 13, where the IRS must issue you a their formal tax proposal called the Notice of Deficiency that they sent out to you is under those two sections. And to your last known address is all they say. And the IRS defined the last known address because Congress tried to define the last known address. So the IRS crookedly went in there and defined the address to their own benefit. And basically they said, besides your tax return, 1040 income tax confession form, the post office, you need to let them know or let us know directly of your address. Otherwise, you didn't let us know of your address. We sent a letter to the wrong address. You didn't get it. Too bad. Tough luck. You had your chance. You had your opportunity to challenge us and get your due process, but – You didn't give us your address. You didn't get the letters. You see, they turn justice upside down. In any other lawsuit of any kind, you must have a justice of the peace, a sheriff, somebody, third person, party, serve the other side with your lawsuit, and then you win your lawsuit before you go collect. Not through the IRS. With the IRS, all they got to do is serve you, send you by certified mail to your last known address. They claim that you owe the money, and that's it. That's all they have to do.
Well, I've been studying Jeff Dickstein, or listening to his YouTube video, and Robert Bernstein, and also, of course, Joe Bannister, and Bob Schultz, and Steve Hempling, and so forth. So I'm getting generally pretty familiar with the kind of approaches that need to be taken. So if that's your counsel to let them know, I will probably reluctantly do that. I just as remain silent, but if they won't let me, then okay, we won't.
Surprises. You all of a sudden your bank account is emptied out again, or your paycheck is taken, half your paycheck is taken again. You don't want the surprises.
Okay. One other thing before I let you go, I've had two 1099s sent for me, and I have resisted from both of those income sources for those people to do it, and they have done it anyway. Is there a law? I thought I read something recently that said that it is the law that either you or the other one can decide not to do it. In other words, I have the legal right to tell them I don't want you to send a 1099 in for me. Is that your understanding? Do you have an understanding of that? Is that something that you're aware of?
No. The 1099, in my research, needs to be sent to foreigners who come to America and make money. They are supposed to be 1099, but you're not a foreigner. Obviously, you're an American.
No.
So it's not optional. If a foreigner comes work here in America, works for you, you are supposed to 1099 the IRS, let them know this foreigner got paid. You're supposed to withhold from their paycheck and send that to the IRS. See, it all applies to foreigners. They misapplied the law. That's what's going on there. So it's not optional.
Right. Well, it's not optional for them. Is it non-optional for me, to, as an American citizen, to have to look and be sent in on stuff?
In my opinion, the employers, these third parties, are not supposed to 1099 you. They are 1099 you in error. But that's what the IRS and CPAs, accountants, tax lawyers have perpetuated out there. That everything that every American makes for a living is taxable. There should be a W-2 or 1099.
Sure.
That's wrong.
Sure, sure.
But that's what they've done.
Okay. All right. Well, I've seen her fall out before. Send a 1099 in for me. I just, I can't be positive, but that was the intent of the question. Okay. Thank you for your time. I hope it was
helpful
to somebody else as well.
Okay.
And all right. Thanks. Can I continue to listen?
Absolutely. Please do stay on, all of you. Listen and learn from other people's calls. You can download these commerce calls to listen to them later if you want to. And the most important thing, share, folks. Tell other people about Freedom Law School. We are a unique source available. They don't even know that's available for them. So, folks, let's see if we have, before I get to the subject of the class for the call tonight, if anybody else has any questions. There's a call from area code 916. Do you have any questions you want to ask us at this time? Okay. There's no questions by anybody else at this time. I'm going to move on to the topic of the victory that I put out to you guys by email and Facebook. We had a case that the IRS was after one of my our students, Freedom Law School student, for over $4 million, about $4.6 million. And well, this was challenged. We assisted a student in challenging the IRS because, folks, IRS makes a lot of bogus claims. They do it all the time. And unless you challenge them, folks, they're going to go on. Then they go on railroading you, abusing you. They try to get his $4.6 million out of this guy who was just a regular guy, just a wage earner, basically. Now, how the heck was this guy supposed to pay $4.6 million as a regular wage earner? Okay? It's just ridiculous. But we assist the president to challenge it. Now, if you want to see this case on Freedom Law School's website, you can. I give you the key documents of what you can see. If you go to livefreenow.org, and at the top right center area, you'll see victories. So you click on the victories, and once you go to the next page, you'll have IRS victories on the left and the victories we've had over California Franchise Tax Board on the right. Go to the victories of the IRS on the left and click on that. The next page that you'll go to, it has Freedom Law School IRS victories. First, you'll see that although this might get rearranged later on, at this point, right now in March 2016, we have Freedom Law School beats IRS for attempting to steal a home. There's a couple of victories there. Freedom Law School beats IRS for illegally taking money. Okay, we have a bunch of victories of that there, about 11 of them. Then Freedom Law School beats IRS's illegal claims. Folks, which starts with my own case of beating the IRS. Folks, they came after me and I beat them. And then the next section after having 8 victories is Freedom Law School beats IRS for not following proper procedures. And there, under case number 4, you see case of Leon. Okay. Leon IRS claimed that he owed them for years 1996 and 1997, okay, $4.6 million. And if you click on that, the hyperlink there, the IRS's claim will come up. Okay, it'd be enlarged. Okay, and so you can see that he was a notice of federal tax lien filing and your right to hearing that the IRS sent to Leon sometime in 2005, okay? And you see that they claim that Leon owed for year 1996 over $2 million. And then for 1997, $2.6 million. And then they claim that he owed penalties, of 6,700 penalties, for year 2002 of over $1 million, okay? So the letter says that Leon must ask for a hearing request by the date in there in 2005, within 30 days. And Leon did. He did ask for a hearing and did properly, legally charge the IRS's tax, okay? Then after that happened, the case folks went through collection due process hearing. Okay, once they went to collection due process hearing, the IRS ruled against Leon in the collection due process hearing. That's no surprise. This is typical, folks. You know, they just railroad you through, ignore what you're saying. The IRS appeals office just simply rubber stamps, you know, everything the IRS done before. But our student didn't just stay there at that level. He took this case to the higher level. Leon petitioned the U.S. tax courts, okay? And with the assistance of Freedom Law School, you know, he beat the case. How? Where it says click here, if you click on that, what you see will come up is a decision of the court. Quite frankly, the IRS lawyer himself admitted that the IRS had not followed the proper procedures of sending Leon a notice of deficiency as required by IRS Code Section 6212 and 6213. They did not do that. So IRS lawyer admitted that, and based upon that, they admitted that there was no tax owed by Leon. And here it is, you see, this case took almost 5 years to go through, from 2005 to 2010. Okay, Leon was challenging the IRS for about 5 years. The 5 years, you see, here is the case of Leon. Okay, and what does it say? It says, pursuant to agreement of the parties in this case, it is ordered and decided that the determinations set forth in the notice of determination concerning collection actions under section 6320 and or 6330 issued to petitioner on September 12, 2006 for petitioner's income tax liability for taxable years 1996 and 1997 upon which this case is based are not sustained. In other words, IRS's tax claims are bogus. Okay, they are not, you know, sustained. You know, the way that the lawyers, IRS judges talk about this stuff is like, oh, they're so soft about it, you know. So anyhow, and by the way, you'll notice here that the end of this decision, that for your 2002, IRS had under 6700 some penalties of over $1 million, about $1.2 million. That $1.2 million, folks, also was last year, okay, removed. Okay, the IRS lawyers conceded that was a bunch of bogus claim that the IRS had to remove that later on. I haven't put that on our website, folks. I've been so busy doing so much, helping so many people, that I haven't had to put some of these latest victories of Freedom Lost on 2015 from last year on our website. But hopefully I'll get to that very soon. But the point of all this is, folks, you can beat the IRS. If Leon can do it, so can you. Why not you? Okay? The thing is, you don't know the law and the procedures and how to go about it. And that's where Freedom Law School can come make a difference for you. It's like having, if you're out in the fight, you know, would you like to have Bruce Lee, the legendary martial art kung fu fighter, on your side? Would that be helpful to you? Well, Freedom Law School has years of practice and victory and knowledge and research on our side that could be there for you to have you win. Okay, big or small, we try to help everybody. Doesn't mean we win every case. Of course not. Nobody wins every case. But we can and do win many cases, even big ones like this. And folks, what you can do at the minimum is you get the level one course, get on our email list, get the basic education, the basic stuff, to do, not to do. Do a lot of that stuff that's free and inexpensive. Do that. And eventually you want to upgrade to get the simple or the Royal Freedom Package with us, where all this stuff will be taken care of for you properly to have you win. So call Freedom Law School if you have any questions. 813-444-4800, or go to our website at livefreenow.org. So with that, folks, I want to talk about the politics of the day, which is rather interesting, folks. We know we got an election year coming up for the office of the President of the United States. And this is the year of the outsider. Why is it the year of the outsider? Well, because the American people throughout the 1990s, you know, I would say from late 80s, 90s, 2000 years, have been suckered in to elect a bunch of criminals and crooks that are owned by the big banks and corporations. You know, the George Bush Sr. and Jr., both of them are criminals. George Bush Sr. was head of CIA, involved in all kind of dirty tricks, drug running, and crimes that CIA was involved in. George Bush Sr. was into all of that and then some. In fact, when the patriotic Colonel Borgreitzer exposed drug running of CIA in Southeast Asia, in the Reagan White House, it was George Bush as vice president who, you know, didn't listen to Bull Greitz. And instead of when Bull Greitz kept going and want to talk about it and publicize it, they had the U.S. Department of Injustice charge Bull Greitz with a crime of carrying false passports. Well, Bull Greitz did have false passports. The problem was these false passports were given to him by the U.S. government itself for him to use in his clandestine activities in Southeast Asia. Eventually, of course, the U.S. government dropped those charges. George Bush, the son, he's a foolish, stupid president, a dummy who used drugs and abused alcohol. And, he's just a good old boy that, belonged to secret societies, everything. And they said, look, don't worry, George. Just Dick Cheney will be your vice president. Dick will run everything for you. Just kick back, George. You'll be the figurehead, the governor of Texas. We got you to be, so you got your credentials. Dick Cheney will do everything we want, run things for you. And sure enough, Dick Cheney was the Darth Vader, the crook criminal, experienced politician, did all the dirty deeds out of the White House. And George Bush just let Dick did it. And Dick Cheney was involved very much with a Zionist in orchestrating the 9/11 attacks on America, false flag attack from the outside Israel, and Israeli secret service Mossad, and covered up by Dick Cheney and CIA and Rumsfeld at Department of Defense and CIA, maybe then some patsy Saudis, and by the way, a bunch of these so-called terrorists that supposedly did 9/11 are alive and well. They're living in Saudi Arabia. That's right. They were not even on the planes. So, they did that treasonous act in America. And Bill Clinton and Hillary, known criminals for a long time, governor of Arkansas, a very corrupt state, and Bill Clinton and Hillary had a lot of the people around them were killed. The bodyguards, people close to them, they were too much trouble, could be a potential problem. They just had them killed. A lot of people were killed. Go watch the Clinton Chronicles on YouTube and see what a criminals the Clintons were way back then in Arkansas before they got to the White House. And, of course, then, we got, lastly, Obama, a fraud, he's not even a U.S. citizen, was born in Kenya. They sold them to American people as our first black president. Oh, whoopee-doo, like that makes a difference, the color of the person's skin. Oh, we got a black president. And that his slogan was, change you can believe in. Sure. We got change, all right. We had a change in the White House. After 200 years of white folks in the White House, we got a black man, a mulatto in the White House. That was the only change. Otherwise, Obama was just like his predecessors. Owned by the criminal bank, the Wall Street banksters like Chase, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Citi, and the big corporations that own the Republican Democrat Party leadership. And they got these fraudulent choices they give us. We had Romney and McCain. They were a bunch just as criminal as Obama. So now, we've been having a Great Depression that started under George Bush. The criminal banksters got bailed out with TARP money and over $16 trillion loaned out to the banksters at just above 0% interest rate. This was all secret, by the way, until Congressman Ron Paul forced an audit of the Federal Reserve that it came out. So, but the Great Depression with me going on, American people got screwed. The banksters who did it all to us got saved, the big banksters. They got bigger and more powerful, made more money. And Obama, this so-called the black man, the hope changing and believing did it nothing. The Great Depression has continued to go on. Okay, after 2006, it started in a slow way. In 2007, it got going. 2008, we definitely had a major Great Depression. And the Great Depression, folks, we got is just like 1930s Great Depression, folks. It's going to last 15, 20 years. That's right. I said it back then. I'll say it again now. This Great Depression will last 15, 20 years, maybe longer even this time. That's right. And I'll tell you why later. So Obama was not the change you can believe in. People realized they were hoodwinked. And what choice they're trying to offer us? They're offering us on a Democratic side, Hillary Clinton, a criminal worse than her husband, Bill. Really, she's a bigger criminal than her husband, who was the president. She was the one running the show. She was the one that, in front of staff, would call her husband, Bill, four-letter words in front of staff in the White House, folks. Yeah, she was the power behind the throne of Bill. She's running. She got the establishment of, you know, Democratic Party in her pocket. I mean, she was a phony, you know, from Arkansas, ran for Senate in New York and became a senator. How? Because she played a political game. You know, she had a lot of power and corruption and played a game and so made herself a U.S. senator from New York and now wants to run for president. A lot of people know she's a phony, even the Democrats. That's why you have people showing up to Senator Bernie Sanders from a small state of Vermont, this socialist, you know, who is at least genuine, who's actually genuinely, at least he means well for the average American, who's pro-peace, not pro-war. He's having audiences like 5,000 and 10,000 people coming to listen to Bernie Sanders, and he is giving Hillary Clinton, who's got the entire Democrat Party establishment and powers behind her, he's giving Hillary a run for her money, and he may even beat her. And on the Republican side, we had over a dozen of these phony establishment, you know, banker agents, Republicans, warmongers, warmongers to the hilt. You know, they want to pick wars with Russia, with Iran, with everybody. They don't see a war they don't like. War is the answer for these establishment Republicans who do a bidding of the neocon Zionists. Okay, folks, remember, I'm Jewish myself from Iran, so this is no anti-Semitic comment. This is coming from the man who was born in Iran in a Jewish family himself. So people saw through all that phoniness. Okay, back in 2012, the Republican Party establishment did everything they could, cheat any way they could to stop Ron Paul, who truly had the popular support, who should have been the candidate of the Republican Party. They did everything they could at state conventions and state meetings and caucuses to stop Ron Paul, had Romney, the phony, be the Republican candidate for president. And then they succeeded. Romney became the candidate of the Republican Party, which dutifully lost to the man who was bringing change, you can believe in, Obama. Okay, because he was such a phony, Romney. Who was going to vote for that, you know, for that phony guy? So he lost to Obama. And, of course, McCain lost to Obama first before that. And Mr. Warmonger, Lindsey Graham and McCain are the two biggest warmongers in the U.S. Congress. They don't see a war they don't like. And so now we have Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, all these warmongers, one after another, going by the wayside. Who was popular at first? The black surgeon, Ben Carson. He was winning the, you know, in early on when the presidential debate started. He was getting the most votes. He went, and then Carly Fiona got a little bit. All these guys went down. Rand Paul even fell through. But guess what? People are coming, voting for a man, the only one in this race that has enough money not to need the money of the big banks and corporation to continue his political career. You know, we generally don't want to vote for billionaires. Why should the average American, maybe just a millionaire, be a president? But no, that's okay. American people are coming to the side of a billionaire, Donald Trump, as imperfect as he may be, and he is, because he has his number one attribute, number one thing that makes him the candidate to vote for, is that he's not owned by Wall Street banksters and big corporations. He's not their stooge. He's not their whore. He is actually, to a large degree, independent. And can act independent, and can do the right thing for the American people. Versus, think about this stooge from Florida, Marco Rubio. you know, whose roommate, you know, back when in his younger days, out of his bedroom, ran a homosexual porn website while Mark Rubio was his roommate. That's his background, folks. He doesn't, of course, want you to know that. Okay? This guy, you know, he's just a puppet. He doesn't know what to say. Chris Christie properly made a fool out of Chris Christie's show. This man just remembers a 25 line to repeat at the same debate in 10 minutes several times. What a fool. What an idiot. He's got to be spoon-fed what to say, how to say it, when to say it. And he still screwed that up. So people sit through all that and are voting for Trump. But I tell you what, folks, not only I think you ought to support Trump, tell your friends about it. He's not owned by the big banks. Tell them. The banks that caused the Great Depression, they don't own him. But I hope that Trump gets a vice president, presidential candidate like Ron Paul, Rand Paul, or governor of Minnesota, former governor Jesse Ventura, because if he gets an establishment vice president, the establishment is a bullet away from getting to control this country once again. Just like they did with John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy, his father was a bootlegger, alcohol runner, from Canada to the United States back in 1920s alcohol prohibition days. So his dad was a criminal, was a crook. He came from a crooked family. Okay, just like George Bush, the son came from a crooked Bush family dynasty. But guess what? When John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy went to White House, they turned out to be honest guys. They actually wanted to do the right thing for the American people. They had an agenda of doing the right thing. John F. Kennedy wanted to get rid of the CIA and tear it by the pieces. John F. Kennedy opposed Israel having nuclear weapons and wanted to see what is Israel doing at the Dimona a nuclear energy plant in the Negev desert of Israel. He was against Israel acquiring nuclear weapons. Yeah, he opposed the Zionists, the Israeli lobby, the CIA. He made so many enemies. And guess what? The establishment had put in a perfect criminal as John F. Kennedy's vice president. The corrupt criminal governor of Texas, Johnson. Johnson had a long record of skullduggery and criminality in Texas. Lots of connection with lots of criminal police, the sheriff, and other officials to get his agenda through. Right? And where was John F. Kennedy shot at? In Texas, where Johnson was from. Right? So they assassinated John F. Kennedy, and they had enough power to with John Johnson, new vice president, and a bunch of other corrupt people in government like Warren, Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Warren, and others. They all dutifully covered up murder of President Kennedy, and Johnson was their perfect criminal henchman, like Hillary and Bill Clinton, and. Later on, when Robert F. Kennedy, he was running for president, he was also too independent. He was not controllable. You know, he was a wild card that actually might do what the American people want him to do versus representing the interests of the big banks, corporations, Zionists, and other powerful moneyed interests. So that Robert F. Kennedy also assassinated. They also had, who else assassinated? Martin Luther King. Why? Because King was starting to talk about not just the black situation in America, but about the Vietnam War, how that was wrong. And he was, these white mothers of soldiers in Vietnam and his black leader were coming closer against the establishment, so they had to get rid of him. So the biggest challenge, I believe, for Trump would be to get a vice president who is not a criminal, crook, neocon establishment guy, a guy who's independent like him, so they could not just get rid of him and bring their own stooge like Johnson in there. So that is my commentary for the night, folks, about freedom politics, law, and the state of America in March 31st, 2016. Folks, if you like it, share that with other people, your friends, family members. Have people call Freedom Law School's weekly conference call Thursday nights. Tell them about our website at livefreenow.org. Get our free education that we provide you, freedom of law education. I make law easy to understand, folks, for you to understand. You could understand law. I made it easy for you at livefreenow.org. So thank you for listening to me tonight. And I'll be back with you again next Thursday night. Good night. I agree. Next time.
Yeah, I gotta get some kind of air in here as it gets hotter and hotter. I gotta listen about that eventually. Mosquitoes.